Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I just want to just welcome you. We're doing a series on Advent the past 4 weeks, and I want to open with a pastoral prayer. I'd always invite you to come to the Seed Christian Fellowship. We worship on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. I know you may not be able to drive to Rancho, but you can join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. You can go to our website and click on the live stream, or you can always watch us on our YouTube channel. I want to open with a prayer from Luke 1, 46 through 47, adapting this opening of Mary's Song of Joy. And that's the message. We got joy in Jesus. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. God, you are our Savior. We rejoice in you. You are the giver of joy. We find our joy in you, not in all the circumstances around us." And verse 4, he said, "For he has been mindful of the humble servant, and from now on generations will call me blessed." Lord, God of grace, be mindful of us during this time of COVID-19. Be mindful and hold those in your healing presence, all who have been infected with this virus. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. O Mighty One, we ask right now that you would do great things for us. We come today to ask you to do great things and protect all those essential workers. Be with our doctors, our nurses, our hospital staff, grocery clerks, first responders, firefighters, police officers, and military personnel. Be with our leaders, Lord, our city leaders, our state leaders, and our nation. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Lord God of all mercy, we ask now for mercy for each one of us during this pandemic, during our panic, during our anxiety, during our fear, our frustration, our pain, our suffering, and even in our deaths. Lord Jesus, come and deliver us with your mighty mercy, your glorious grace, and your lavish love. Fill us with joy, the joy of the Lord that is our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, this is the third week of Advent. The first week of Advent, we have a candle in our home. We have Advent candles in our church, and we light a candle of hope. And we looked at the life of Zechariah. Zechariah, the old priest, encountered the angel Gabriel in the temple and was told that his prayer had been heard. What a powerful moment to hear that your prayer has been heard. Have you been waiting for a prayer to be heard? Have you been waiting for hope, looking for an email or a text or a card in the mail or a call from a special friend? Hope is what helps us to walk by faith even when things are dark and the future is unknown. Well, in the second week, last week if you were listening, in the second week of Advent, we lit a candle of love. And we looked at the announcement to Joseph that his future wife was pregnant. We walked a few minutes in the sandals of a young man who had his dreams shattered, his hopes dashed, and his life completely altered by his wife-to-be. Mary was pregnant, and he was not the father. Thank God for angelic visits. What love Joseph had for Mary. Each Advent morning, I sit and read through the gospel birth announcements, and I try to enter into the stories I'm reading. Where were Zechariah and Elizabeth? What were they thinking when they found out that Elizabeth was pregnant at 80 years of age? What was going through Joseph's mind when he heard about the love of his life, Mary, was with a child? What was Mary thinking when the angel showed up and told her that she'd become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit? So what? I write in my journal and I write in my Bible and I say, so what? What would it be like for us, for you and for me, to be so quickly responsive to the Lord's calling on our lives. Have you ever thought of the Lord our God singing over you? Have you ever thought of singing for the Lord? Zephaniah talks about that. We're going to go to Zephaniah 3, 14 to 20, and then we're going to read our passage in the Advent story. Let's go to prayer. Lord God, we pray your words would be live and redemptive today. Shape us and mold us. Zephaniah 3, 14 to 20. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout out loud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all of your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. Boy, I have those verses highlighted in my Bible. Verse 16, on that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. Friends, go to your Bible. If you don't have it now, write it down. Zephaniah 3:17. Email me. I'll send it to you. The Lord your God is with you. I don't know where you're at, but he does. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Just stop and ponder that. Pause, ponder, proclaim this. God is singing over you. The sorrows for the appointed time, I will remove them, he says in verse 18. They are burdens and a reproach to you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppress you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I'll give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. And at that time, I will gather you. And at that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Zephaniah 3, 14 to 20, underline verse 17. Let us read part of the Advent story and enter to the joy of the announcement of the coming of the Christ. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overwhelm you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month." Verse 37, I'd highlight this verse, "For nothing is impossible with God." Boy, it's a short verse. It's a great verse to put to memory. Nothing is impossible to God. Nothing is impossible. I'd pray that prayer. I would say that when you're driving, when you're walking, when you're before you have an interview, before you go to do something. Nothing is impossible with God. Verse 38 says, "I'm the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. In the sixth month, listen, God's clock was already ticking when the angel came to Mary. Just because God announces something to me doesn't mean it began with me. Now that will surprise some of the listeners. Pledge to be married? Well, we have our plans, but God has his. What do we do when the two come in contact with each other? This is a practical question for today, just as much as it was for Mary's time 2,000 years ago. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Notice the connection between this favor and his presence. How could it be otherwise? Have you ever talked about the connection between the two? Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Well, Mary isn't the only person who ever found herself troubled by God's message. I preach every week, sometimes several times a week. I teach on Monday nights. I teach on Wednesday nights. We do Zoom with our teaching on Wednesday night with Isaiah, and we do a men's group on Monday night. I teach, and sometimes I get very troubled. I don't know about you. Then you hear the words, you'll be with a child. Sometimes we enlist in the purpose of God because we are drafted. Does God have the right to draft us into his service? I wrote that down. I mean, Mary wasn't looking to be in God's service. She was looking to have a family. But then God says, I'm drafting you into the service. How will this be? That was her question. How will this be? There's a world of difference between asking God how and asking him why. Let me say that again. Asking God how and asking God why. I sit with people at the bedside of their loved ones as they're dying, or there's been tragic accidents, or, you know, COVID has hit, and we ask God why. Maybe the better question is how. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. When God answers the how question, this is the unusual way of how he starts, for nothing is impossible. And then she says, I'm the Lord's servant. And then the angel left her. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're in week 3 of our Advent series. And I'm going to read a passage from Luke 1, 39 to 56. It's a long reading. Faith comes by hearing the word. And listen, I always say listen a lot, but my job is to put God's word out. The Holy Spirit works in your hearts. My prayer is that you'll be open to that. Luke 1, 39 to 56. At this time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you'll bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost beings. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to his father." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. Well, we're halfway home in the week and the work of Advent. We've had 2 weeks of preparing, and there's 2 weeks left. Before we begin our journey, let me ask a question. What's your attitude about joy? This may sound like a silly question. I think all of us would rather be happy than sad. I believe that we all would rather be up than down. I would go one step further and say most of us prefer to be around others who are joyful, happy, and positive. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. Happiness depends on a happening, something from outside of us. But joy comes from within. Nehemiah was surrounded when he writes these words. The book of Nehemiah is a great book. We don't have time to go there. But Nehemiah was surrounded by Sanballat, Tobias, and Geshem. The walls were broken down, but Nehemiah 8:10 is one of my favorite verses. Nehemiah says, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. The day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord will be your strength." The so what comes really early today. So what is your attitude about joy? Do you take time to cultivate joy in your life? Do you see joy as an important foundation in your life? And if so, where does this joy come from? I love watching Christmas movies at Christmas time. And of course, my favorite is A Wonderful Journey. My second is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Joy in Jesus, joy in the journey. If you have seen the movie A Christmas Carol, the main character, Scrooge, has a life transformation. Have you ever come across people just like Scrooge? I know people who are just like Scrooge. I know people who have canceled Christmas. Maybe you're one of them. You're a bah humbugger. I grew up in a family who canceled Christmas. Their attitude is, I'll get around to joy once all my work is done. Bah humbug. Joy. You may be saying, how can there be joy in the middle of a worldwide pandemic? How can there be joy when I'm locked down in my house and I wear a face mask everywhere I go? How can there be joy when all I do is spend my time on my computer screen for class or work? Joy, are you kidding me? You haven't seen my to-do list. I still have a week of school left, bah humbug. I bet you know people like Scrooge. The trouble is that we always have more work to do. The good news is that we can increase the joy in our lives regardless of our circumstances by taking and making the time to celebrate. Let me repeat that. The good news is that we can increase the joy in our lives, regardless of our circumstances, by taking and making the time to celebrate. We can increase our joy by taking and making the time to celebrate. But when we focus on the negative or on what we do not have and all the work we are still have left to do, we rob ourselves of joy. Scrooge used to celebrate Christmas, but over the years he forgot how. The spirit of Christmas past had to shine a light on Scrooge's past. Sometimes it is painful to look at our past. The spirit of Christmas past took Scrooge back to his boarding school days. In the first scene, Ebenezer watches all of his friends rush home for the holidays, excited with glee to be heading home for their families. Not Ebenezer. He had to stay at the boarding school for the holidays, all alone, unwanted by his family. Instead of Christmas being a time of joy, Christmas had become a time of pain for old Ebenezer. Ebenezer was robbed of joy because he focused on the negatives of his past. I wonder how many of us are robbed of our joy because we are focusing on our past. Well, in his dream, Scrooge saw how he had been smothering the Christmas spirit and quenching his own joy. He saw this in the spirit of Christmas past relived in the encounter with his fiancée, Belle. I'd encourage you to go watch A Christmas Carol. Friends, this is my 24th or 25th Christmas as an ordained pastor and 40 years in ministry, or really 45 years in ministry with 18 years as a youth pastor. It never ceases to amaze me how stressful and depressing the holidays can be, especially for Christians. And all the while, we have the answer right in front of us, Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes at Christmas, we find ourselves nursing wounds from the past or wallowing in self-pity over what we do not have or over the bad choices we have made. We find ourselves remembering harsh words, sad disappointments, and difficult interactions from our past. Jesus was born in a stable, a small, cramped, congested, messy place. A newborn baby was out of place among those dusty animals, the musty straw, and the unusual smells, sights, sounds that are found in a stable. I grew up on a farm. I milked the cows. I know how dirty it is. But this mess is the message of Christmas. There is no stable, no place in our world or in our lives that's too broken or too poor or too remote or too rejected, too outcast or too messy that God cannot be found and formed in us. Emmanuel. Our gospel story in Luke 1 gives us the right focus for today. Here we find Elizabeth beyond childbearing age, now 6 months pregnant with her first child, John. we'll call him John the Baptist because that's who it will be. Elizabeth is visited by her relative Mary. Mary was young, poor. She was a female. She was unmarried and she was pregnant. I love the stories of the Bible. Not because the people are the cream of the crop, the who's who of Whoville. I love the stories because they're people just like you and me. Both of these women had some pain in their past. Elizabeth had suffered many years, probably 30 years, because she could not bear a child. Her childlessness was viewed by others as a curse from God. Elizabeth had felt humiliation and hopelessness for years, and then she's an old woman and she's pregnant. Mary decides to visit Elizabeth. Mary is the opposite of Elizabeth. She's not old and pregnant. She's young, she's unmarried, and she's pregnant. Yet Mary knows that this baby is God's own son. And as Mary enters Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, leaps within her, and Mary gave out a glad cry and exclaims that Mary is blessed among all women. You know, these two women could have had quite a pity party. Yeah, sometimes my wife will say, I think, Dave, you're having a pity party. I'm not coming. I don't think you're like that. I don't think you have pity parties, right? Oh, yeah, you probably do. These two people could have had pity parties, but they did not. In verse 46, Mary responds to Elizabeth by saying, my soul glorifies the Lord. Did you know that another word for glorify is magnify? To make something greater, to cause it to be held in greater esteem or respect, or to enlarge it in fact or appearance. What Mary is saying is, you know, this is not the greatest timing for me. We can focus on the negative, or we can focus on the good. You know what? My soul is going to magnify. My soul is going to glorify the Lord. Elizabeth and Mary, they choose to cultivate joy. Instead of magnifying their worries and woes, they choose to magnify the Lord. Eugene Peterson's message, and I love reading his paraphrase called The Message. It says, this is his paraphrase of this passage. I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. Mary knew God as a God of power and as a God who is concerned for her. Mary knew God as the one who cares for the humble and hungry. Mary knew her Old Testament scriptures. There are at least 15 Old Testament quotes or allusions in her song of praise. Each one of us has a choice to make. That's our so what. We can focus on what we do not have, or we can focus on what we do have. Hope. Hope in harrowing times. Remember, don't be afraid. God hears our prayers. Love, God's enduring love. We've heard that. Emmanuel, God with us. Joy, we have a choice to make. Choose joy and allow joy of the Lord to be your strength. Magnify the Lord. Let us pray. God, only you know the depth and width of our yesterdays. Only you can help us heal. Lord, in these last 10 days or so of Advent, help us to prepare our hearts and our homes for the celebration of your one and only Son's arrival. Unchain our hearts and help us build relationships with love. This week, we ask for joy. Help us to magnify the good and to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. We want to be full of the good news so that we dance all week with the joy of the Lord. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.